Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. Our first reading will be in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 11 to 12. Genesis chapter 1 verse 11 to 12. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seeds, and fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. Verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass and the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Hallelujah. Second reading, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 to 12. Ephesians 5, verse 8 to 12. For you were once darkness. Am I right? Okay. So, do you understand that English? You were once, not you were in darkness. So, you were once what? Darkness. Tell your brother, your sister, you were once darkness. So don't say I was in darkness. The way you are now, yet is sum. Now you assume you are darkness. But now you are light. Don't say you are in the light. You are what? I don't know whose light you are inside, but they say you are light. Okay. In the what? The Lord. Walk as children of what? Light. Let's continue. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of what? Darkness. But rather expose them. Are you hearing? Archbishop, are you hearing somebody? For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Is that all? Yeah. Our last reading, we are all going to read together. John chapter 6, verse 63. John 6, 63. Are we ready? Okay, let's. Yeah. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. It pleases the Lord that we still continue in the matter of anointing. And today, our message is titled The Anchor Deep Experience. Don't let the anchor scriptures confuse you because you didn't hear anything anointing. We are still talking about anointing. I want to start today's message with a recap so that you are able to follow. This is the 10th message we are taking on the matter of anointing, and 10 is in fact a journey. So it's likely that some of you may be lost along the road because you may not be able to follow us. So I want to do a quick recap and then we can be able to move on from here. So now let's start. We started this year on the concept of anointing with the title, Art Thou Anointed? Which is a question we had to genuinely answer because this year's navigation as a church or as a ministry has to do with the inheritance of the begotten, the ends of the earth. The year has been declared as our year of inheritance of the begotten, the ends of the earth. So we are talking about a year where we are looking forward to have hold of certain things as our rightful possession. And in the scope of definition, we are talking about the ends of the earth. And what it means is that we are being global in orientation. It is not about how to buy an iPhone, how to own. No, we are talking about having global influence, having global impact, having a national influence. That is what the whole team is about. So this ministry has been set on a path of global influence. If you are here and you don't know, I'm letting you to know. What our Father declared in the beginning of, or through God declared this year, is to let us know that it is a journey into global influence. So God through our fathers told us, or to ask for an inheritance, and which is the global influence, a realm where people will recognize that indeed you are a begotten, or you are a product of the begotten, is what we are talking about. And the truth of the matter is that the last time I checked, God telling somebody to ask for inheritance, that person was called the anointed. In the book of Psalms chapter 2, he said, ask of me. He said, how do the heathen reach and the earth? People imagine vain things. The kings of this earth plan against the Lord and his what? Anointed. And it was the anointed God asked him. If you when you look into it, you find out the people of Israel were also called the anointed. And they were the ones God promised them what? Inheritance. I hope you remember that. He said, you build kings for their sake. And that he said, attach not what? My anointed. And for that, these are people God promised them what? Inheritance. So if we are talking about global influence, being influential, and the concept of inheritance to the ends of the earth, then it is very important that we ask ourselves that question, are thou anointed? Are you on the same page with me? So to therefore we need to know. So therefore we are we anointed to make such demands? That is a very important question we have to ask. And in that, to answer this question, it is needful that we take a look at the concept of anointing. Is that not it? Because it was the anointed who was able to ask for what? The inheritance. So for us to answer the question whether we are anointed or not, or to make the demand, then it is important for us to journey through the concept of what? Anointing. To be well informed so we can determine our stand and how best we can place this demand as we move along this year and the years ahead of us, holding on to the inheritances God has allocated for us. I believe that some of you, God has given you a place in the medical field. I believe that God has given you, some of you, a place in the corporate world regarding to business. I believe that some of you, God has given you an inheritance in the field of education. But I want to guarantee you that you will never ever take hold of that inheritance without the anointing. So the question is, are thou anointed? For us to answer that question, we need to look at the concept of anointing. Then we know whether we are out anointed and whether or not we have what it takes to place demand. Are we there? Okay. So on this note, we began with the first sub-series, which is what? Concerning the anointing, which laid the foundations on the anointing around the subject matters as such. So concerning the anointing was around three subject matters, and it was nine messages in eight messages around that. So look at the three things I spoke about concerning anointing. In case you don't understand the concept of concerning anointing, I just want to put it into three simple sentences. Sentence number one: who the anointed is, from the Old Testament perspective, taking David as a figure of studies and Jesus as a figure of studies with regards to the New Testament. So concerning the anointing, the first thing we try to look at is who the anointed is. And we looked at David and Jesus as the figure of studies. Do you remember that? Do you remember that, those two figures of studies? So that was the first thing. So for us to understand, we have to find from scriptures people who represented the concept anointing. So we drew light on David and we drew light on what? Jesus. Jesus was a representation of the New Testament mode of anointing. And David is the representation. Now if you look at the book of Psalms chapter 2, you find out that David was literally the definition of the scripture. But in translation or interpretation, we find out that it was also talking about who? Jesus. Psalms chapter 2. David was talking about himself. Why do the earthen what? Rage. And the kings imagine vain things against the Lord and his words. Do you know the kings he was talking about? The kings of the Philistines, Saul himself, they were all imagining things to make sure they eliminate him. Do you understand? And then he said, God asked me. So in literal word, David was talking about himself, but also prophesying about who? Jesus. So if in the matter of talking about anointing, with a figure of definition to understand the full concept of anointing, David is a necessity figure and Jesus. So that was the first subject, or the subject matter in the area of concerning anointing. The second thing, the definition of the anointed and how an individual can be called the anointed, both from the Old Testament perspective and the New Testament perspective. So remember that in the course of the concerning the anointing, we looked at how people became anointed or called anointed from the Old Testament perspective. Do you remember that message? Are you with me? And then in the New Testament, we look at what led to the people to be called or anointed. And I said that in simple definition, the anointed is simply means the one who God is what is with. Do you remember that? Good. So that is concerning the anointing, the second broad definition that we looked at. And the third one is the constituent of the anointing, which has to do with the presence and the power of God, putting into consideration the differences that exist between them. So the third thing that we looked at as a subject matter concerning the on the topic concerning the anointing has to do with the constituent of the anointing. We find out that anointing constitutes the presence and the power of God. And we were able to strike the differences that exist between the two of them. Did we? So you know, for by solid definition or by little foundations, now whenever we talk about anointing, we are referring to the manifestation of the presence of the power of God that is what visible, or that is a reality in the life of an individual or a place. Are we all there? So that was all the subject matter of the series, sub-series concerning anointing. So all the 8 messages I preached was on these 3 areas. Hallelujah. Do you understand it now? Good. See, let me tell you, okay, I'm going to give you some few course outline. We are going to look at something concerning the streams of the anointing. We are going to look at that, streams of the anointing. We are going to look at catch the anointing, how to catch the anointing. We are going to talk about that. There is a lot to talk about anointing. We are going to look about stewarding the anointing. We are going to look at corporate anointing. Very powerful topic. So stay along. We are nowhere yet. I'm still laying foundations. I'm now anointed. So you see, when we talk about certain concepts in the church, and the reason I'm taking my time to teach break upon break on the concept of anointing is that it's one of the very common topic in the church, but the application and understanding is very weak. So as I spend time to teach on prayer, as I spend time to teach on the relationship with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to also spend time to teach about the anointing, because these are foundational things that is necessary for our spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Now we move to our next sub-series. That was last week. And the next sub-series was what? Another measure, another what? 1,000. Which is talking about the levels of what? The anointing. Are you there? Good. From last week's message, we understood that time, which is a major determinant of how things work on this earth and the economy of God, has subjected spiritual things to processes, stages, and level for their full, complete manifestation. I hope you followed last week. So we found out that spiritual things are subjected to what? Stages, levels, and processes as a result of 2 reasons. Number one, the principle of what? Time. And the principles of what? God's economy. Do you understand that? So then whenever anything spiritual is being released into this earth realm, it is subjected to what? The laws of time and the laws of God's economy. And because of that, you will see that the same thing this which is released spiritually, somebody will be operating in a lower level, another person will be operating at a higher level. Somebody will be a step ahead of another person because of the principle of what? Time and God's what? Economy. And I confirm that in the scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, said, "For everything under this sun," or everything under heaven, is what? There is what? Time and not season. Can we read so that it doesn't look like I'm paraphrasing? To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the earth, the heavens. So don't think that when we say that, oh, this thing, and we talk about a spiritual thing, is going to be the same thing in everybody's life. No. Some may be operating in a higher dimension. Some may be in a lower dimension. Somebody will actually be ahead of you. Somebody will also be behind you because of the principle of what? Time. That is why it is very, very dangerous to be a jealous person. It's dangerous, though. Because in this life, because of the principle of time, somebody will surely be ahead of you. And somebody will be below you. Accept where you are and where connect. It is a journey. So if you see somebody operating a higher anointing, don't let the spirit of covetousness kill you and make you think that Oh, see, some people have put pressure on themselves. You let them come there. Let me preach my message and go away. Hallelujah. It's because we lack this kind of understanding, we think that whatever is happening to this person, the same thing must hurt. Now, young people are putting pressure on themselves to buy all kinds of Porsche cars. They want to enjoy the same financial level with despite Ibrahim Mahama. But if you understand the principle of time, you find out that time has segregated the two of us. Not that you don't work hard, but the principle of time has separated the two of us. Our group and their group said that it took them some time to get where they get to. But we have to accept where we are and then believe that we put in the necessary principles that they did. That in no time we can also get where they get to, but not to be in competition with them. The moment you set in competition means that you are not respecting the principle of time. And you pay dearly for it. Because the Bible said that he that breaks the law, or he that transgress, the transgressor shall suffer. In the book of Ecclesiastes. Hallelujah. So that is what we found out last week. And for that matter, we found out that the anointing, regarding anointing, it is also broken into what? Levels. And Ezekiel chapter 47 helped us in appreciating the various divisions or the various levels of the anointing. Hallelujah. So today, we will start looking at one of the levels, or we will start taking the levels one by one. Are you ready for it? And to be able to understand and comprehend these various levels, there are three models that I have come across that can help us to apprehend each of these levels. The first model is the event that initiates every level. I'm going to explain it. The event that initiates every level. Number two, conditions needed to go through that level. Because remember that Ezekiel was brought through. Do you remember? Then the third one, signs that confirms that you are in that level. Signs that confirms. I want to use this three model to explain each of the levels of what? The anointing. Are we all on the same page? Can we move on? It's a teaching service, as I said. So this is not about screaming and shouting. It's about understanding each of the layers and blocks I'm giving you. We are still talking about the anointing. And we are on the second sub-series where we are looking at what? Levels of what? The anointing. All right. Now, there are four levels of the anointing. First level is what I call the ankle deep or the potential experience. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. The ankle deep or the potential experience. The second level is the knee deep. This is from Ezekiel chapter 47. From ankle to what? The knee, right? The knee deep or the foretaste experience. So you can call the potential experience, the foretaste experience. And these are going to... So you already know my next message titles. I'm just giving it to you. The third is the waist deep or the full taste experience. The full taste of the anointing. So we have the potential experience level of the anointing, the foretaste level of the anointing, the full taste level of what? The anointing. And the fourth level, which Ezekiel said, a river to what? Swim, is what I also call the double anointing experience. You can also call it the unique anointing experience. As we go through each of these levels, you are going to understand it very well and how it is very important when we start looking at the streams of the anointing. That is when we take a stream like the prophetic stream, you understand why we have levels of prophetic or prophets. It's the factor of the levels of anointing. Hallelujah. So let's look at today's message. Now we are in today's message. Actually, the ankle deep. All right. Which is what? The potential level of the anointing. To begin with this level, the first thing I want to establish is one of the things that our Father in the Lord taught us. Now, from the teachings of our father in the Lord, Apostle Joseph Minta, we found out that in the book of Genesis chapter 1 to chapter 3, God spells out certain spiritual laws that the earth or the realms of this earth submits to. And one of these laws is called the law of potentials. In Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 3, it's full of spiritual laws. We have the law of order. We have the law of choice. One of the laws over there is called the law of what? Potential. And I'm going to explain to you. The earth is subjected to the principle or the law of potential, which means the fullness of anything on this earth can be represented in the seed form of it. The law of potential simply means the fullness of everything, the full measure, the full impact of everything as far as this earth realm is concerned can be represented or can be captured in the seed form of it. Hence, all that is to the spiritual is passed into this earth in a seed form. And this brings us to our first reading in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 11. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs that yields what? Seed. Now look at how he interprets it. And the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind. So the fruit is according to the kind. But look at how they say it. Whose seed is in it what? Itself. So the fruit is a kind of it, but the seed is of what? Itself. So the law of potential says that if I want to represent myself, all I need is what? A seed. And you have me in full. Are you following me? So since this is a law that the earth realm is subjected to, anything that is seeded into this earth realm is subjected to the law of what? Potential, seed form. Anything that can thrive and grow and outlive and do anything is subjected to the law of potential. Let's move on. So if you put Genesis chapter 1 verse 11 into context, now let's read the verse 12. And the earth brought forth, as God instructed, look at what the Bible said. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb, that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself. Maybe if you don't understand this one, can you give me, do you have the NLT? Give me the NLT. Sometimes King James may not be, let's read the NLT. Look at it. The land produced vegetation, all sort of seed-bearing plant, and the trees with seed-bearing fruit, their seed produced plant and trees of the same what? Kind. And God saw that it was what? So God's principle of reproduction or producing the same thing in its full capacity is the principle of potential captured in what? In seed. Now let's move on. Hence, the seed, hence the plant and its fruits is the same as its seeds. Do you agree with me? The seed is in the potential, means that it has what it takes to become what it is, the plant. And the growing plant that bears fruit is the reality, and they are what? The same. So if you have the seed and I have the plant and the fruit, you are not different from me, because you have the potential to bring it. Are you following me? Good. Therefore, if I give you a seed of anything, it implies I have given you the actual thing in full, but at a state of what? Potentials. The emphasis here is what? Potentials. The ability to become what? The same thing. Now, here is the whole thing. All spiritual things, such as faith, love, and even sin, are all subjected to this principle, which anointing is not an exemption. Even the kingdom of God manifested fully from the seed stage. Mark, let's read it. Mark chapter 4 verse 26 to 28. Follow. See, when you understand these things, you understand why we have levels. Because everything starts from the seed stage. No matter how powerful it is, it starts from what? Including you sitting here. You started as a seed being sown into your mother's. I'll come there. Is that not so? You see the potentials I'm seeing here right now. At first, it was a small microscopic something. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter out a seed on what? On the ground. That is the kingdom of God. Could you imagine the whole kingdom of God is a seed? Now let's move on. And should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should what? What does mean to the seed? Sprout and what? Grow, comma. And he himself does not know how. So the seed what will sprout and then it what? Grow. Let's move on. For the earth yields crops by itself. How? First, the blade. Second, then the hot head. After that, the full grain is in hot. You see that everything goes through process as a result of time. So even the kingdom of God, this is how it comes into full manifestation. The anointing is not an exemption. That is why the first level of the anointing is the seed stage, the potential hot stage, which is what the kneel what deep. Okay. Now, as I mentioned, the concept of even sin was introduced as a seed. Now, the seed of sin was sown by the devil, which became the tree called the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. The Bible said, and you have thought in your heart. Do you know the heart is a seed bed of thought? Do you know thought is a seed? Don't you know thought, ideas are seed? When the devil thought of becoming God, it was a seed he conceived. When it manifested, it grew to become what? The tree of what? Good of evil and of what? The tree of what? Good and of evil. The knowledge of good and evil. Do you know that when man ate that fruit, the seed entered into man? That is why man is full of the knowledge of what? Good and what? And evil. Because had contact. Do you know eternal life is also a seed? Eternal life is also a seed. And it was also sown in the same garden. The Bible called it the tree of what? Life. They were all there. So everything always starts from the potential stage. But do you know one thing? Because the sin started as a seed. The reason why people say that, why didn't God kill the devil, destroy the devil? No. It is against the laws, spiritual laws, for God to do that. Because God himself has subjected himself into what? To his words. And the law is that for anything that initiates itself as a seed must be given the time to go through all processes to maturity. And when it is fully matured, it will be dealt with. So both three are allowed to grow to their full potentials until the day of judgment. If you read the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 9, let's look at this. That is talking about the tree of life and the tree of what? The knowledge of good and evil, all being in the garden. Now, because of time, go to Revelation chapter 14, verse 14. We are reading all the way to the verse 20. I'm going to show you that even the warfare of the kingdom is seed against seed. The law of potentials. See, don't let anybody downplay the thoughts that God sows in your mind. That's why the devil is after your mind, because if he's able to sow a seed, and the seed gets the necessary conditions, nothing can stop it. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and his hand a sharp what? Sickle. What do you sickle for? For what? Harvesting. And what do you harvest? Something that is of what? Maturity. Now let's read. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap. For the harvest of what? The earth is what? Is ripe. You see, he's talking about the earth, not the heaven. Seed. The earth realm is subjected to the principle of what? Potential seed growing. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also, having a sharp sickle, and another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire. And he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the wine of the earth, for her grapes are fully what? Ripe. Verse 19. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. This way it was thrown into. So this is talking about human who have become a representation, who took in the seed of sin. And the sin of sin has come into full maturity, and now God is harvesting. This is about judgment. They were thrown into the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 what? Furlongs. He's talking about when sin has come to what? As I said, the law of potential is so powerful that even the concept of redemption and warfare between God and the devil was captured in the form of seed. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I'm still talking about the ankle deep, the potentials. Follow me. And I said that the anointing begins in that level. I have to explain the concept of seed to you. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your heart and her heart, seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So right from Genesis, the devil's potential was permitted to grow. If you think that you can stop evil, you are lying. Do you know what we do? We don't stop it. You can't kill the devil. What we do is that we shine, and darkness cannot comprehend. He goes away. Are you with me? So the whole issue is always about what? Seed. If you read Matthew chapter 3, verse 24 to 30, you see the same thing. Somebody sowed, slept at night, another person came to what? So seed is the foundational definition of anything that is subjected to this act. Hallelujah. Now let's move on. Thus, the fullness of God's power and his presence is released in a form of a seed which is buried deep in your spirit. And that is what? The anointing. So the point of contact with the anointing is a seed form. And that is the first level. If you understand this first level, you can be able to allow the anointing to reach its full maturity. Just as Ezekiel went through, the Bible said that they held my hand and I was measured and I what? Passed through, and it was the next level. And that is how you have to understand the concept of anointing. That's why I told you from the onset that everybody is what? Anointed. Why? Because the seed potentials of anointing is in all of us here. In other words, whatever God used Peter to do, you can do it. You see, on the day of judgment, there will not be excuse. Your face has changed. You see, so don't let anybody, you see, don't let anybody deceive you that the way pastor was, God will see pastor. No. You see, it is just like the parable of the talent. Each of them were given what? Potential talent. And the master will make demand of everybody. Don't think what I am doing, you cannot do it. It's a lie. Why? The potential is new. The issue is that the conditions necessary for it to move. Have you given that condition? So when we talk about anointing, don't think that when we say that somebody's that's what I said, we are all what? Anointed. Why? Because the potentials is already in you. So wake up. Wake up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in 1 John chapter 2 verse 27, that is where the seed form of the anointing is. 1 John 2 verse 27, what did he say? We have talked about this scripture over and over again. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in what? In you. This is the seed. And you do not need, listen, because of that seed, you do not need anyone to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concern. So this is a serious statement. Because you have the seed, the anointing in you, you do not need to make the right decisions that I make, because you have the same thing. This is where you have to learn to know that
It is on you when you let people mislead you. Oh. It is not on the person. You see, God will never intervene. I'm telling you here. If you don't understand this thing here, people will still take money from you that they are going to mountains to pray for your breakthrough for you. And God will permit it. In fact, God will let them make good use of you. Why? Because the same potential. So what this scripture is trying to say is that it's not like people shouldn't teach you. What it's trying to say is that whatever is making them to do what they are doing, the same potential is in you. So you do not need to be reliant on men. Why? Common headache, you are calling pastor. Small witches have appeared in your dream and did a little display. Pastor's phone is already. Oh, I'm not saying you shouldn't call pastor. But some of you are no more lambs. You are sheep. Allow us to attend to the lamb. You all have it. I'm going to prove to you that you have it. So this is the seed form. And it's true. And it is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. I pray for you. That you allow the seed, the potentials of God captured in you, the anointing will come into manifestation. There is no excuse anywhere that you cannot be functional. You see, there is no excuse anywhere that you are going to give to God why you are not to be able to be influential in the scope of space God gave you. If God is not seen in your family, it is on you. If God is not seen at the workplace, it's on you. Because the potentials is given to you, is there. The seed is there. Even the kingdom of God came in a seed form. So the thing is, don't think that the anointing is now going. No, we are all here. We are all anointed. Hallelujah. Tell the person, you are anointed. Hallelujah. Now let's look at this. This is the first level of the anointing. And this is the reason why the new creature is a very dangerous being. Because of the potential he or she carries in the spirit. Can we read Colossians chapter 2 verse 10? You remember that last time I told you that man, Adam, was a perfect being but not a complete being. Do you know why? Because he never carried the full potentials of God. The spirit of God didn't come to reside in him. Colossians chapter 2 verse 10. Listen to what it says. And you are what? Let's say together. And you are what? Oh, church, we are reading together. And you are what? Complete in him. Who is the head of all principality? You are a complete being. Do you know what that means? It means that whatever it takes to dominate this earth, you are complete. You can do it. You don't lack anything. He has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. It's not a lie. But the whole issue is that it is given to you in a seed form. And seed simply stands for what? Potential, the ability. If you don't give it the necessary attention, you are not going to get it. Now let's move on. So now, how do we know? As I said, there are going to be three models that is going to help us to what? Understand each of the level. So the first model is the event that leads to the level. The event means that what occasion, what public occasion or announcement that makes you to know that you have contact with the first level. So the first with the ankle deep or the potential experience, the event is that the anointing is introduced into your system as a seed on the day you became born again. So the day of your public repentance and accepting Jesus Christ, what happened to you? One of the things that happened to you is that the seed of the anointing was what? Sown into you. In the manifestation of what? The Holy Spirit. John chapter 20 verse 22. So the day you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, that very day, the seed of the anointing is sown into you. Please, have you all accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior here? So now, do you know you are anointed? So you are anointed, and that anointing has come into you as what? A seed. John chapter 20, verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the what? Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit that came into your spirit did not only regenerated your spirit, did not only justified you, but also came in the full potentials of God, hidden in your spirit. He's there. The day that the believer would decide to give attention to the potentials in him. Oh. You see, that is why you realize that the moment you begin to give attention to the things of the spirit, you begin to wonder the things you will do. Oh, are you with me? Are you with me? You don't know the potentials in you. So when God said, ask of me and as I give you, it's because you have the potentials for it. All you need to is to pay attention to it. So the day you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, one of the things that happened to you, that a seed was sown into you. The seed of the anointing, that is the presence and power of God, was imparted into you. Buried deep in your spirit. The very day the Holy Spirit came in full was the very day, listen to me very well, the very day that the Holy Spirit came in full was the very day you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. See, God does not come in peace and bit. No. The day you accepted Jesus, the fullness of God was planted in you. But you know how it came? As a seed. Today, if I give you one bag of cocoa seed, viable cocoa seed, you look at me and say that I didn't do anything good for you. Is that not it? Huh? But if that cocoa seed gets a place, a condition, and you are able, do you know what I've done to you? I've made you a millionaire. One seed. How did it take Tete Kwashi to make Ghana a cocoa producing country? You all did the history, right? How to show the potentials of a seed. So the Holy Ghost came in full, but in a form of a seed, not in bit. Tete Kwashi was not bringing bags of cocoa to Ghana to make Ghana. He just brought just some few seeds. And today, Ghana is the second largest producing cocoa country. Just some few seeds. I said, what you have is enough. What you have is what? Enough. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. So the very day that you accepted Jesus, the Holy Spirit came in full, but as what? A seed living in you as a potential, waiting for the processes that will bring forth his full manifestation. So he's there waiting for the processes that will allow him to what? Fully manifest. But if the Spirit, listen to this scripture, very powerful scripture. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So you see what he's trying to tell you? The weight of what is living in you is what raised Jesus from death. I don't know if you have ever read that event or the account of how Jesus was raised from the dead. The Bible said there was earthquake. That earthquake was as the result of this Spirit that is dwelling in you. The Bible said what happened was that even the dead came back to life. It is as a result of that same Spirit dwelling in you. The stone was rolled away. It's as a result of that same Spirit what? Dwelling in you. The ability that made Jesus to come back from death, resurrected, the Bible says that Spirit. Do you understand what is in you? Jesus. He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I pray for you. See, there's a life that you have to receive today. The life of your mortal body we are talking about here is a life of influence and impact that you begin to live. That Paul said, though I live, not I will live, but Christ will live. And the things I do is no more Christ. I pray for you. Starting from this year, the things you do, the life you'll be living, people will see it as the life of the Spirit that rose Jesus from death. A life, a manifestation of the power of God. Unquestionable things. The potentials in us. I said, it is on you when people dupe you. Ah, Jesus. I want to raise Christians who understand the potentials in them. If the spirit that rose Jesus from death, the same spirit dwells in your mortal body, so it shall give you life. This is not about only physical life you are living. I'm talking of a life of impact. A life that people know that this is only the doing of the Lord. How can we be living life as if there is nothing living in us? We live as if there is nothing. There is no potentials in us. How can you fail? If that spirit rose Jesus from death, what is holding you on the ground? Even though I fall 7 times, I'll rise. Because the potentials in me does not give me the permission to remain on the ground. I said you will rise. You will be at the top. Because that spirit dwells in you. Oh, Jesus. So, the fullness of God, which is the Holy Spirit, representing the power and the presence of God, is fully captured in you. So the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow streams of living water. So this thing he spake concerning the Holy Ghost. These things he spake concerning the what? So there is a river. That is the Holy Spirit. As we explained in Ezekiel chapter 47. It's living in you. There's going to be an outflow. I pray you allow this potential out. See, many Christians have no knowledge of these things. And I tell you, if you do not admit and accept this thing and allow God to begin to work on you, you will be fully potential. You see, the Bible said, David said, and Saul died as if his shield was not anointed. And that is how many lives of the believer is becoming. We die, we become victims. We are part of the casualties. As if there is nothing upon our life. Be careful how you take care of me. Because the day, see, that is, oh Jesus. When the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears has not heard, neither has he entered the heart of men, the things that God has in store for you don't know. It's because of the potential. See, anybody who sees you today and underestimates you, did it at their own expense. Because the spirit that rose Jesus from death is what is in me. There's nothing that can stop that spirit. The Bible says, and death could not hold him captive because of this spirit. The strongest weapon of the devil is death. So the Bible says, oh death, where is your strength? Oh grave, where is your sting? That is the strongest, that is the strongest weapon of the devil. When death lays hands on you, that is all. But the Bible said death could not hold Jesus. Why? The spirit that rose him from there is always in you. I don't know what exactly is holding you back. Don't be there and meaning. No. That's why we said the inheritance of the begotten. Any place that God, see, the things you are, some of you, let me tell you this. The Bible said God is able to do exceedingly abundantly than what we can think or ask. But you know, without what we even we think. Because you think it is your ability. Today I came to you, it's not by might. God is able to, some of you, when you dream that witches are killing you, do you pray? But when you dream that you own aircraft, you don't believe it. Somebody said, the only dream that manifests is the dream that you are urinating on the wall. Is there anybody who has had that experience? The only dream that can be, that has real manifestation is the dream of when you are urinating on the wall. Indeed, you woke up indeed with the reality of it. Hallelujah. We dream and we see coffin, we see wild things and we believe it. But when we dream that we see ourselves making so much impact, that one there, why? This is how you undermine the potentials that is in you, the spirit that rose Jesus from death. In fact, when Paul was teaching about this same spirit as a seed potential in the believer in Ephesians chapter 1, the verse 17 to 19. Look at the thing. He said, the exceeding greatness of his power. Oh, I pray for you. See, if you understand these potentials in you, you allow God to work in you. So Ezekiel, he saw a water. He underestimated it. And he stepped in and it was his ankle. He said, oh, I can walk through this one. Then he allowed the potential to grow. And the next 1,000 measure, it was at his what? Knee. Said, oh, still, this is something I can handle. He thought, he didn't know the full strength of what he was dealing with, the Holy Spirit. Then another measure, he walked and it was at his waist. Then another measure, he found out, no, this is not a river I can cross. That is how, you see, the day you allow the Holy Spirit to take you through that measure, another 1,000, you find out that what is in you, it's not only about river, but it's beyond tongue speaking. Now come there. They are raising so much timid, bullied, intimidated Christians who makes it look like the potentials of God, the presence and power of God in us cannot be realized. No, not this time. And not for you. In the name of Jesus. Now let's move into the conditions as time is running against us. As I said, there's an event. So now if you receive Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, that event characterizes that the seed of the anointing is sown into you. Do we all agree on that? Now, that seed needs conditions for you to walk through. That seed needs certain conditions. Now, all the four levels of the anointing have the same condition. Just that it depends on how you handle the conditions. Now, the conditions is on two things, the word and the spirit. Now, take note of this. Anything that comes from God in a seed form can only manifest fully in the presence of the word and the spirit. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. The Bible said, and the earth was without, and the earth was what? No, I don't want to paraphrase. He said the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Now, this is a condition. Let's see how God handles it. And the Spirit of God, do you see over there? Was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse 3. And God said, for light to appear, the Spirit has to move, and the word has to come, and there was what? Manifestation. Anything that comes from God can only be fully manifested or have the chance of manifestation in the presence under the conditions of the word and the spirit. The problem why the potentials of God in you, anointing in you, has not come to the next phase is because it is not serviced around the conditions of the word and the spirit. Follow me. Without the word and the spirit, the seed that comes from God, the anointing that is captured with the potentials, so remember, it is potential, it has not manifested though. Hallelujah. How many of you are football fans over here? I'm a great football fan. Now, do you know that footballers, there are a lot of people that were young with potentials but never realized it in their full career. The fact that they were so good, there are a lot of wonder, is it? But there's one of the guys in Barcelona whose own really pains me. Ansu Fati. Very good player. Now, where is he? Potentials. But you see people like Frank Lampard who came with their potentials and now they have come to full maturity. Do you understand? So there were certain conditions. That's why you see now clubs are buying young guys with potentials and they are creating a noble environment for the manifestation of the potentials they see in them. One of the big clubs I salute and I respect a lot is Barcelona. They pick young guys. Messi is one of their prodigy. Pick Messi. Young guy. Nobody knows him from anywhere. And by the time I realized, they created an enabling environment for him. There are a lot of people in his age who couldn't do anything like that. What am I trying to say? The fact that the potential is there doesn't mean you can realize it. There's a need for condition. When anointing is in you, it's a seed. The food, said the spirit that rose Jesus from there, that is what is in you. It's a serious matter. It is in you. But there's a condition that needed. There's a needed condition, an environment for it to come out little by little. So the first level of the anointing is the seed stage. It's good. Having that seed stage is good. But it can never, it is not what it is. That's not the full maturity of it. You have to allow the word. Hallelujah. So without the word and the spirit, it remains barren because it is the word that comes together to give life to every form of seed and also continue to supply life to it in every stage unto full maturity. John chapter 6, verse 63 said, "For the, can you give me the, in NLT, John 6, 63? Look at what it says. Oh, Jesus. I hope you are being blessed. Now listen to what the Bible said. John chapter 6, verse 63. Hallelujah. Should I read from my... Okay, God. I need the NLT. This is what it says. It is the Spirit who gives what? Life. So, hallelujah. Bring the anointing oil. Let's anoint him. He needs grace. See, your seed, your anointing is at the seed stage. He has not allowed the potentials to come out. You leave it here. If you can't do anything about it, leave it here. If somebody can open the NLT for me, open it for me. Okay, now. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes what? Nothing. And the very word I speak, I have spoken to you, are spirit and what? Are life. So it is the Spirit that gives life, but the Spirit is carried by the word. So when God gives you seed, for the seed to be alive, to give life means that life means that it is growing. The definition of growth is life. So if there is life in something, there is a sure confidence of growth. So the Spirit and the word comes together and they give what? Life. So you can receive whatever seed, whatever potentials of God, in the absence of the word and the spirit, you go nowhere. That is why foundationally we expose you to the word of God. We expose you to things that will release the spirit dimension of God. The supply of life is to your mind, which stands for being fed with the word of God. Not being taught. You see, you can give the mind facts, that is teaching. But when you feed the mind, it is what? That is supply of what? Life. Revelation chapter 2 verse 20 talks about this. So when we say that you are being fed with the word of God, no, you are fed with the word of God, means that life is supplied to your soul. Life. So every day life is given to your soul to allow the content of the spirit to come out. Life. Then the content of it, that is the potentials coming out. Life. Life. Do you know that it is the continuous words that has been spoken to you that has made you who you are today? How did you become a nurse? Somebody started talking to you, telling you things. Are you not a nurse now? Power of words. Life. Carries life. So when your soul is fed, life is released. And the things of the spirit will be out responsive to that life they see in the soul. Are you following? Good. So he said, but I have this. Okay. I have this complaint against you. You are permitting the woman that Jezebel, who call herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and to eat food of what? So here he was talking about how the devil trains people. He teaches them. He gives them fat. He gives fat to your mind. But God has not done that. God feeds your soul through the word. So he said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk that you may thereby what? Grow. Is feeding on the word of God. Life is supplied. Life. Hallelujah. So the word of God, when we talk, so is a condition necessary. Therefore, the word of God as a concept of condition necessary for you to go through the levels of the anointing has to do with the sevenfold revelation of the word of God. which is also called the whole counsel, the sevenfold revelation. I'm going to teach on the whole counsel of God, either as one of the year series, or maybe we may start the school of the spirit, and I'll talk about that. Now, this seven revelation of the word of God, which is what you're supposed to be fed, are number one, the word of truth, the word of grace, the word of faith, the word of power, the word of life, the word of righteousness, and the word of Christ. These are the sevenfold revelation of the word of God. This is how you are supposed to be fed. Are you with me? Okay. Now, the ankle level and how we balance the diet for the condition to be necessary. Now, when the seed is sown as potentials, how do we make sure that that seed has a potential in you, get the right condition to grow? Number one. The ankle level focuses more, or the food that is being fed is more of the word of truth and the word of grace. For the potentials of God in you, the anointing of God in you, to move from the stage of potentials to the next stage, then you need more of the word of truth and the word of grace, and less of the rest. The word of truth, John chapter 14, verse 6. For I am the way, the truth, and life. The word of truth focuses on elementary principles of Christ, necessary for grounding you in the found faith through solid doctrinal foundation. What am I trying to say? When you become born again, you yourself, you don't know what is even happening to you. Do you? Now, the word of truth is to establish facts of whatever you are experiencing. That is where you are grounded. So, the word of truth will give you foundational doctrines that grounds you, so that that seed, the potential, can have opportunity to what? To grow. So, essential doctrines, non-essential doctrines, faith, laying of hands, all these things, are you following me? The knowledge about these things is to help that seed in you, the potential in you, to be safe and secured. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in the matter of, as I'm going to use pregnancy as a matter of, because I've seen some, and I know how it goes. When a woman takes in seed, there are certain drugs that is given to her to help secure the baby, and also what? Help in the development. One of it is vitamin C, folic acid. Very important. The word of truth is like folic acid. It's secure, so there are no doubt. The Bible says you will not be like children who are tossed by every form of doctrine, every wind. Do you really get my point? That is why when you sleep and in a dream, somebody say use cinnamon and smoke and you can prophesy, then the word of truth will tell that is not true. You see the whole thing? The potentials of God in you. Because if the word of truth is not there, you do it. Because one of the things that the devil wants to do is also find a way to corrupt the seed. Do you know seeds can be corrupted? So the word of truth protects the seed to avoid corruption. That is why when someone comes and tell that when you burn 12 candles in the night and you go around and then you do this and you read something, this will happen. Then the word of truth will tell you that is not true. Because the anointing in you shall teach you all truth. It is through the word of truth that you can know that this is of God, this is not of God. So when you become born again, bam, you want to start, it doesn't happen that way. You end up using the devil's anointing. It is only the devil who can start something today and it is at the maximum. God hasn't worked that way. The word of truth. So the condition necessary for your the potential experience is that the word of truth, that is for your own good protection. The question is, how much of the truth do you know? In three things. How strong is your belief? How strong is your value system? How strong is your worldview? If your value system is not good, that is where you know that anointing can be sold. These things are serious. It is the foundation. If it is not worked on and the person is rushed through the level and enters the full taste, that is why the person will put price tag on the anointing. I've met those kind of people. The prophet of God met me and told me that we don't spend money in heaven. So if I'm here and I'm doing freebies, I'm misusing the anointing. And that people pay for things that they see that is of value. Is this true? But am I lying? So if you don't put price tag on yourself, they are not going to respect the prophetic anointing on you. I say, oh, prophet is true. People. But God does not work that way. I would rather seek the respect of God than to seek respect of men. The truth saved me. If not, by this time, all of you, as you are seated here, you don't even get opportunity to be here. Oh, you don't know. If we had not had the truth grounded, like some of you will not be seated here, because it will start from 10,000 Ghana cedis. Do you have one? That one is counseling appearance fee. Before you can come and see me for counseling. Yes. Like by this time, my wife, you are driving Bugatti. Oh, come on. Because you are putting value on the anointing. Somebody say value on the anointing. Hallelujah. Are we being blessed? So the word of truth protects you, ground you, such that your belief system, your value system, your worldview is as what God wants it to be. Nobody toss you around. Nobody tells you that you can still sleep, you can do sleepover. Nothing happened. Because the word of truth will tell you that can corrupt the seed. Now the word of grace. The word of grace opens you to the realities of the free and the liberality in Christ that comes with gifts, which includes the gift of the Holy Spirit. If the word of grace is not ministered to you, you cannot receive free things from God. Because the potentials will move on to another stage, which you have to receive that level. You have to be brought through, which includes the gifts. Romans chapter 4 verse 4. Let's read that scripture. The journey through these realities is what prepares you for the next level, which is what? The new level. The foretaste of the anointing. So when you read the potentials, what happens is that the word of truth, the word of grace, prepares you for the next level. So that you can be able to embrace the next level you're walking into. Free the gift of the Spirit. So the word of grace, you'll be taught about the gift of the Spirit. The word of knowledge, the word of what? Wisdom, descending of spirit, all these things, including all things that are free, which can prepare you for the free things that God will be giving you in the presence of your anointing. The word of grace. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have what? Earned. So when you work and you give something, it's not a gift, it's what? Wages. But God gives us things we didn't work for. Did you work for the anointing? Did you work for this? No. Hallelujah. So this is the condition necessary. So the word of truth, the word of grace, is a condition necessary for that stage of the anointing, the potentials to move to the next stage. Now, the spirit dimension of this. Through prayers, especially meditation, accompanied with fasting, the spirit dimension of these words are released. Thus, as you encounter the word, by embracing a particular doctrine, an instruction or teaching, meditation, which is a form of prayer, fasting produces the spirit dimension of it. So as I'm here, you are encountering the word. What I'm teaching you here right now is the word of power in one way or the other. In teaching the anointing. As you encounter this word through the doctrine I'm teaching you, listening to a message, reading a Bible, a doctrine is given, an instruction is given, teaching is given. Are you following me? Now, when you go to meditate over it in prayers, I've already taught you meditation, and you fast through it, listening and fasting through it, what you are doing, that you are releasing the spirit. That you see, it becomes life in you. So you see that grace becomes alive in you. Truth. That is why, you see, you don't need any. When somebody says something, how many of you have realized that because of this thing that you have done, when somebody speaks, you don't need to know who speaks. When you hear the word, you know that this is not God. Hello? You don't even need to go to look for your Bible. It doesn't matter whoever said it. Are you with me? The spirit of truth is alive. You don't need to ask pastor. The person can say it is a very good thing. It sounds so nice. But then the spirit of truth, because of the encounter with the word of truth and because of your persistence in prayer, the spirit is released. When the person says, then the Holy Spirit will tell you, no. Tell the person, I can't do this. This is not God. The reason why you see some Christians are deceived is because the spirit of truth is not established in them, even though they may be given the word of truth. Hallelujah. Let's wrap up. Signs of the seed level at work. Signs that the knee level anointing, you have received the knee level anointing. I'm just going to rush through this. There are three things so far I've seen. I'm going to rush through them. We'll close. So that next week, we'll move to the foretaste of the anointing. So all that I've said is about the potentials of God captured in you. They are here. The conditions to allow this potential to start its journey is the word and the spirit dimension. Focusing more on the word of truth and the word of grace. That does not mean you don't need the rest of the word. You need it in a little quantity, not as much as the word of truth and the word of grace. Because when you become born again, the word of truth, the word of grace is what you're supposed to be exposed to most. And then you move into the other ones. Now, signs of the seed level, or signs that you have had an encounter with the needy. Number one, the conscience of the individual is fully activated. Hence, the individual finds it very uncomfortable to partake in the things of the world. Now, let me make it clear to you. One of the signs that a woman has taken in seed is how her body language and everything of her begin to change, including even what she eats. If indeed the seed of God is being sown in you, you are born again. Because the moment you become born, we say that the event that brings about the seed is what? Being born again, salvation, repentance. The day you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Do we all agree on that? If it is true that what you did is true, one of the first signs that your spiritual heart, conscience is highly awakened. And what proves that it's highly awakened is that you find it very uncomfortable to be part of the things of the world. That is what we read in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8. In other words, a Christian whose conscience will not prick or judge or attack you if you go to nightclub, you are not born again. I can see it. Yes. I'm not saying that you not go there, but your conscience will not. Your conscience will deal with it. The sign that you have a seed in you, potentials of God, the seed of God, including the anointing as a seed in you, is that your conscience sign, your conscience, your spiritual conscience are working. For once you were full of darkness. No, give me the New King James Version so that do not say that. Once you were what? Darkness. Do you understand? So once you were dark, very dark. For example, as of Mame Sarah, once she was single. Now she's married. It's a two different thing. For you were once darkness, but now you are out light in the Lord. Walk as what? Children of the light. Move on. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and what? And truth. Move on. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. I'll come to this place. The verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of what? Darkness. Underline it. The moment you receive the seed of God, that seed that has impregnated you will not allow you. You see, that is when you sin. Eh? You can't sleep. You see, those, maybe some of us were born into a Christian home, okay? So because of that, we are raised with certain Christian principles and virtues and everything. You people who have been, who have not been born into a Christian home, who were so into the world, when they become born again, ask them the things they used to do. If they try doing it, how they feel? They can't. Do you know why? Something is alive. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Your conscience. Ash. You see, you were so comfortable drinking alcoholic drink. The moment you become a Christian, born again, when you take that drink, you look at the next something. Hey, my brother. See, yourself will start talking to yourself. Don't try this one. If that is not at work in you, we need to pray for you right now. Now your conscience is snared. You have lost it. You have lost it. You are not at, you have lost it. If your conscience is snared. See, that is why you don't need pastor to rebuke you for certain things you do. He said, when you judge yourself, you shall not be what? Judge. That is your conscience. It will judge you. Number two, for time's sake. Instant appetite for the things of God and the kingdom. Go back to the verse 10. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. When what is of God is in you, what is going to cause you to do is that you find what is acceptable of the Lord. When the anointing, the seed, the potentials of God is planted in you, it will force you to find what is acceptable of the Lord. Because that's what you have carried will begin to decide how you behave. It's not a scientific something to see people who are born again, genuinely born again, pursuing the truth, trying to know God. What is in you will force you to do that. The third one, the desire to associate with the people of the kingdom and identify as one of them. When the Spirit of God comes to reside in you, which is the potentials of the anointing living in you, there is that desire to be one of them. Once you were darkness, you are now what? Light. It will force you to be light. That is why you have the desire to pray for the sick. Can I see my hands? Have you ever had desire? You have the desire to do something as a result of what is in you. That desire is what is going to lead you to the next stage of the anointing. The desire is, it is part of it, it's a sign. So if indeed you have received the seed of God, you see that it will begin to put desire in you to do certain things. And that's what is going to force you. The potentials will begin to force you so that you can allow that desire to come into reality. I pray for you that your Christian life will not remain at the potential stage of the anointing. David said, Saul died as if his shield was not anointed. May you not die as if your spirit never carried the Spirit of God. I pray for you that as you leave this place, you will allow the Word of God begins its work in working out the full manifestations of the things of God. See, I said there is a place for you. God has given you a place in this world to be of influence. Don't underestimate who you are. Eyes have not seen. I said ears have not heard. In fact, it has not even come to your heart the things that God is capable of and what God has in store for you. I said God is about to do great things with you. God said we should ask and it shall be given unto us. Say, ask of me and I shall give you the heaven as your inheritance and the outermost part as your possession. I pray for you. You see, that is what is going to force you to see that it is not good enough to be at this level. Another measure, another 1,000. What is going to make you to start crying that, Abba, Father, take me to the next level? Because your eyes is focused on the price. It is my prayer for you that from this place, you will not only sit here. See, don't let anybody bully you. There's an anointing for wealth. I said you can also be a billionaire. What I said, he said, I am the one who give you power for wealth. Nobody was wealthy than Isaac to the point that the people came to sign a contract, an agreement with them. The way God has blessed you, promise us. I said, there is an anointing for wealth. Is anyone ready for that anointing here? Can I tell you that that anointing is already in you? Oh, I said that anointing is already in you. I declare in the name of Jesus, you will not die in the potentials of that anointing. You will not die with that potentials. It will come into manifestation. Oh, it will come into manifestation. The Bible says, as Zion traveled, he brought forth a child. I look forward to that child of wealth in you in the name of Jesus. You will rise up and the world will know that indeed this is the blessed of the Lord. You will be a financial mogul in this kingdom. I said that potential is in you. It seems these people don't want it. I said that potential is in you. We need money. One of the influences that I see coming on you in this church is money. I said money. The potentials of God. The power to make wealth. I declare, you poverty is far from you. Poverty is far from you. I look forward to the day, tell pastor, I am broke. The last time I checked, I have only $600 million in my account. I'm broke. You don't believe it? I said, you don't believe it? Oh, do you know I'm prophesying to you right now? I said, you walk me, say, pastor, I am broke. The last time I checked, I have some few dollar accounts, counting around $700 million. I have about 6 projects to do for some 7 countries across the world. Last time, I think I decided to sponsor about 7 crusades of these men of God. And pastor, I'm believing God for my 3 oil blocks that God is going to add to me. I said, this is what God is going to do. The potentials are there. It's coming out. I said, it's coming out. It's coming out. And as you sit here, they are looking for the next person who will be a counselor, an advisor to the king. They are looking for the next president. They said, look at that man with that excellent spirit. I said, that potential is in you. That potential is in you. The next leadership of the country is counting on you. The next leadership of this nation is counting on you. Because how God has anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. I see the anointing in manifestation in your life. It shall be like the river that Ezekiel saw. It will start from the ankle, and by the time you realize you are swimming in many dimensions of God. I said that time is coming. That when your name is mentioned, cancer will drop. That anointing is coming. And the miracles that cannot be contended. What you do, AI can never do. I said what you do, technology can never do. That anointing is coming. I said, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly than what we can think. But we cannot let this remain at the potential level. There is another measure waiting for us. Another 1,000 waiting for us. And it is my prayer that when we go into our closet, we will say that, oh God, another measure, another 1,000. Another measure, another 1,000. Let not these potentials of you remain in me. Romans chapter 8 verse 11. The spirit that rose Jesus from dead, if the same spirit resides in you, I declare in the name of Jesus, let the manifestation of that power be seen. The exceeding greatness of God's power. We will live a life that people know. This is not by mind. This is not by power. What art thou, O mountain before Zerubbabel? According to the word of God, you shall become a plain land. Rise to your feet. Oh, thank you, Lord. In the next 2 minutes, I want you to speak in tongues. Say, Father, take me to the next level. Help me to keep the condition for this level alive. Help me to encounter the spirit dimensions of the word that we have been fed. Don't let my seed be barren. Help me, Lord, not to kill the seed in me. Help me, Lord, not to let this potential die with me. Let the world benefit from the potentials you have invested in me. The anointing that you have given me as a potential, let my word benefit. Let my word benefit. Let my word benefit. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Go brande mekosaya. Oh shabranda baba kabasaya. Go verdele besende. Mando bro shanda bakaba.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let the world benefit in the name of Jesus.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.